You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan.
This week, Francis speaks to European correspondent about the war in Ukraine, the EU's Russian oil embargo passed late last night, Sue Gray's report on the Partygate scandal, and €9 per month public transport in Germany. Here they are now.
Kia ora, Cameron. Hey, as we move into June, the war in Ukraine continues. Can we begin, as usual, with a quick update on the situation there?
Yeah, so this week, another 200,000 refugees have left. This brings the total up to 6.8 million refugees who have fled the war in Ukraine. The main battle seems to be in Severodonetsk, in the east of the country, where it's estimated that Russia now controls half of the city. Up to 10,000 people are still trapped, and evacuations were stopped after a French journalist was killed yesterday due to shelling.
Let's move now to the EU. Can you give me an update on the oil embargo, which I believe has finally been agreed upon?
Yeah, the EU at a special summit last night finally got an agreement on the Russian oil embargo, which they've been pursuing since the start of May. This will block up to 90% of Russian oil imports by the end of the year. So the EU imports just over a quarter of their oil from Russia, and since the start of the war have paid billions of euros for their energy imports, which, you know, in effect help fund the war. The initial idea was to block all imports by the end of the year. However, with the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Hungary having until the end of 2024 to move off Russian oil. This is because these countries were much more reliant on Russian oil, with Hungary importing 65% of its oil from Russia. So Viktor Orban, the PM of Hungary, who we've spoken about before as being a bit of a thorn in the EU side and having much closer relations with Putin, he was the main opponent for this embargo. He stated that it would have an extremely significant effect on Hungary's economy. So the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen had been very, very busy visiting member states and trying to get an agreement. What she's ended up doing is essentially to give them an exemption, so not much really changing from their initial plan. So in this embargo, it will mean no sea-based imports of oil, which are around two-thirds of the EU's Russian oil imports. And then Germany and Poland will voluntarily switch off their pipeline with Russia by the end of the year. So this will bring the total up to roughly 90% of Russian oil. And those three member states, Czech Republic, Poland and Slovakia, will be getting their oil from a separate pipeline. So it's not the full unity that they were hoping for, but at least in practical terms, it's a significant stoppage. Some additional sanctions were announced with this package, including the blocking of more banks, like big Russian bank Sberbank from SWIFT. And this is due to be finalised over the coming days. So the next big thing will be to move the EU off Russian gas, and this will be a lot longer and a lot more complicated. The other thing to be aware of with this is that while this oil blockage is temporary, inflation is continually rising. So, for example, yesterday it was announced that inflation hit 8% in Germany this month. So as these kind of prices rise and fuel prices rise, these sanctions could prove to be contentious.
Can we move now to the UK and talk about the Partygate scandal? I understand senior civil servant Sue Gray's inquiry came out last week on that. Can you give me a quick summary of that report?
Yeah, the long-awaited Sue Gray report came out last Thursday. And this is a report into the partying and breaking of lockdown rules by Downing Street while the rest of the country was in lockdown during COVID. It all started in December last year amongst media reports of a 2020 Christmas party. This included leaked footage of the then press secretary Allegra Stratton joking about attending the party with wine and cheese during a mock press conference. Initially, the London Metropolitan Police declined to investigate this party, and after a significant public outcry, the Cabinet Office commissioned a report. The initial person in charge, Cabinet Secretary Simon Case, had to step down from the investigation after reports there was another party in his own office. So the head job was then given to Second Permanent Secretary Sue Gray. So in late January, she was due to publish the report, but held off due to not wanting to influence a separate police investigation. This led to an update in the end of January, which mentioned some 12 parties that were under police investigation. However, it was quite light on details. Her interim report did state, though, that there were failures of leadership and judgment by different parts of Number 10 and the Cabinet Office at different times. After lots of speculation whether the report would be finally quashed or made public, it came out last week. It gave details of 15 of those parties between May 2020 and April 21, of which Boris Johnson had attended 8. A lot of them were quite booze-filled and raucous, with regular wine time Fridays. a karaoke party in June 2020 with someone vomiting, as well as a minor altercation. There was a Christmas party in 2020 with red wine spilled on the walls. And probably the most infamous were two leaving events which merged in the Number 10 Garden in April 2021, which lasted until 4 a.m. and ended up with a damaged child swing set. This was the night before Prince Philip's funeral, which the Queen had to attend alone. There was also a decision not to investigate a November 2020 party inside Boris Johnson's flat, which Gray stated that it was not appropriate or proportionate to investigate. And this could also be a controversial finding.
And what are the consequences of these findings?
Yeah, so nothing concrete as of yet. It's really been a drip-fed story over the past 6 months, either from different media reports of parties or the interim update in January or this larger update, which came out last week. So Boris Johnson, his wife Carrie, and former Chancellor Rishi Sunak, as well as 80 others, were fined by the Met for various parties during lockdown. Boris Johnson's was for a birthday party held in January 2020. But so some backbenchers have called for him to resign, and it could be growing. This afternoon, former Cabinet Minister Andrea Leadsom published a letter criticising Boris Johnson but fell short of calling for resignation. If there are 54 letters of no confidence sent by MPs within the Tory party, it would trigger a secret ballot. And The Guardian estimate that this number is around 30. The Tories, in the political sphere, the Tories did perform poorly in the recent local council elections, which was seen to be a bit of a rebuke over Partygate. And the latest YouGov polling suggested that the Conservatives would hold on to just 3 of the 88 battleground seats they won if there were to be an election. I think, to be honest, he'll probably get away with it. After 6 months of reports and stuff in the media, people have already made up their mind. And he's already dodged a lot of other kind of sleaze inquiries. For example, MPs having second jobs, lobbying, and also COVID contracts over the past year. And I think kind of more importantly, his inaction over the COVID period with the first two waves left tens of thousands to die. And he's quoted of saying, let the bodies pile high, and he's still in his job. So yeah, I think we'll get away with it. The war in Ukraine has helped him quite a lot. Former Scottish Tory leader Douglas Ross withdrew his calls for resignation due to the war. And I think stability and public attention on the wall might save him. But yeah, it depends, I guess, if more MPs will start to call for him to resign.
Is there sort of a date when that has to come to a head, or is that just as the letters pile up? Okay.
It'll probably just brew.
Okay, we'll keep tabs on that. And finally, I hear rumours of €9 public transport in Germany. Is it per month? Tell me about that. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is really exciting. So one of the ways to kind of, as I mentioned before, rising fuel prices and living costs, this is a way to help with that. So from June, July, and August, you'll get a €9 monthly ticket. In Berlin, a monthly ticket normally costs between 60 and 100 euros. And yeah, so it's the whole of Germany. It'll estimate it costs the federal government 2.5 billion. But it's really exciting. You could, in theory, like hop kind of suburban train to suburban train across the country. Otherwise, it's more just local trains. But yeah, it's cool. Everyone's really excited for it. I read on the news that they're putting even more trains on because they expect high load. But yeah, I think it'll be like a lot more lake days and just a lot of people going out and having fun and enjoying summer.
Yeah, that's huge. That's super exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was Francis speaking to European correspondent Cameron Mulgan on Eurovision.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.